We're holding Tehillim, the 15th chapter, Perek Tesvav. It's a relatively short chapter, and it has very deep and important messages. It's everywhere in Tanakh. Mizmor David, we have here a song compiled by King David. Adonai mi yagur be'alecha. God, who will be able to live within your tent? Mishkon me'alchotshecha, who could live in your holy mountain? And this can be understood as a reference to either the holy tent, the tabernacle, can be understood as a reference to the Beis Medrash, can be understood as a reference to the land of Israel. But either way, David is stressing who can enter God's holy territory, who could come close to God. Holech tamim, a person who goes in a way that is whole, ufo'el tzedek, and acts in a righteous fashion. V'dover emet bilvavo, and speaks truthfully in his heart. And now we're going to run through the chapter and then analyze it again. And one of the things I think we should ask ourselves is, David HaMelech seems to have encompassed everything. A person who goes in a whole fashion, well, that sort of encompasses everything. It means he's honest, he's good, he's kind, he's everything. Poel tzedek, does righteousness, speaks truthfully in his heart. How are we to understand this? Is this an introduction? One who goes in a whole fashion, and then David HaMelech enumerates what's encompassed by a whole fashion, and then the rest of the chapter is just an expansion of this verse, or maybe it's an expansion of the first two words in the verse. How do we understand it? So let's read through the chapter, and then we'll review it and analyze it, maybe with a little more depth. Lo hagala lishono, he hasn't spied with his tongue, he hasn't slandered other people. Lo asa levaehu ra'a, he hasn't done any bad to his friends. V'chirpa lo nasa l'kirovo, and he wasn't willing to take disgrace for his relative, which is meant, Rishonim explained, it means that he doesn't have bias. Sometimes a person is in high office, so if his relative does something that's wrong, he says, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And a person who wants to come into God's tent, be it the temple, be it the land of Israel, whoever wants to come close to God, one of the things that David HaMelech is saying is, it must be that he has not shown nepotism. He hasn't shown favoritism. He isn't willing to cover a disgrace. If his relative does something that's a disgrace, he doesn't cover up for him. Again, we'll go into more depth when we review it. Nivzeh, something who is disgusting, discrepable, be'inav nimas, in his eyes is also, he finds it anathema. Ve'tireh Hashem yechabed, and those who fear Hashem he honors. Nishma le'ara, if he takes a vow to do something which ultimately will harm even himself, ve'lo yomir, he doesn't go back on his vow. If he takes a vow, he'll do something, he does it. Kaspo lo natan b'neshech, he doesn't give his money with interest. He gives a free loan. V'shochad al nakilo nakach, and he didn't take a bribe, even for someone who was clean, he wasn't willing to take a bribe. Oseh eile lo yimot l'olam, one who does this will last forever, obviously in God's tent, he'll never fall. When we analyze this chapter with an overview, we see that David HaMelech is stressing the ben adam l'chavaro, how he behaves to a fellow man. David HaMelech is not speaking about how pious he is, how many sacrifices he brings, how long he prays. David HaMelech says, who can come close to God? Who could enter God's tent? One who has shown the traits of being a good person to his fellow man. So maybe we're talking about a person who hasn't yet entered the tent. Maybe we're talking about a person who hasn't yet learned what it means to pray. He doesn't yet know how to be a pious person, ben adam l'makom, between himself and God. But David HaMelech says, you want to enter the tent, first thing is, a person has to be good to his fellow man. The Kuzari, Rav Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari asks, why is it that when we read the prophets, we notice that they speak about basic traits? Don't steal, don't harm a widow, don't harm orphans. You would think that God gave us the Torah, and now if prophets are being sent with godly word, they're going to tell us all kinds of elevated messages. Why are they talking about the basic traits? Explains Rav Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari that the prophets were faced with a nation that was not living up to the most basic levels of morality and kindness that they should have had. And therefore the prophets couldn't speak to them on all the high levels that they were on. They had to go back to basics and say, guys, basics, you can't steal. You can't harm someone. You can't take from someone's, move the boundary between your field and someone else's field. Because if the people aren't living up to the most basic things, you can't deal with them on deeper things. Now let's review the chapter with more depth. Mizmor LeDavid, the song of praise that David compiled. Hashem mi yagur ba'alecha. Who is David speaking to? Seems to be a rhetorical question. Yeah.
I had a question about
what
you were saying.
Sure.
About the prophet speaking to basic levels. I thought that one of the basic precepts for to have prophecy is you have your own trait. Which
needs to be
at a certain level, but also the generation has to be at a certain level too. So speaking in basic don't steal,
seems kind of... That's a very good question, because we say that, the Gemara says, that Hillel could have been a prophet. There are many people in that generation who had the merit to prophesy like Moshe, but the generation wasn't on that level. So if you don't mind, in a little bit, we're going to have question and answer session. Bring up that question and we'll try to deal with it. A song of praise composed by King David. Hashem, God's personal name, mi yagur ba'alecha. Who can live in your tent? Notice the word yagur. Yagur is temporary, not permanent. Ohel, tent, is temporary, not permanent. Mi yishkon, now that's permanent, lishkon, to be with permanent, behal kotecha, that's a mountain, that's there. Permanent, that's a mountain. So David HaMelech seems to be talking about the tent, and then you end up in the mountain. How can you begin the process? How can you enter a yeshiva? Obviously, at some point, you'll get the bigger yeshiva. Your own home will be the source of the Shekhinah. But you start the process, you go to whatever yeshiva is local. You start at the Chabad in the college, whatever it is. Starting somewhere. And slowly you move forward, you get to Yeshiva, you get to Jerusalem, you get to Israel, you get to something with permanent. Holech tamim, a person who goes in a whole fashion. Ufoel tzedek, and acts in righteous ways, he is honest. Tzedek is talking about honesty, basic. I mentioned in the past, and I think it's obvious, that in general the guys who come to Machon Meir are guys who have, developed good traits in Adam L'Chaverot. If a person has made it here, usually it works beyond that. And that's something we're going to discuss in a special class we're going to have tonight about the hardships and the strengths of walking into Judaism, of walking into Orthodoxy, about persons moving forward. But David HaMelech is saying the precept to growing in Torah is a person going in a whole fashion, in a righteous, a fair fashion. Dover emet, speaks truth bilvavo in his heart. That's intellectual honesty. We very often, what holds us back from choosing the right path or from growing within the right path is that we're not honest with ourselves. David HaMelech isn't just speaking dover emet, one who speaks truthfully. He speaks truthfully in his heart. Most of us, all of us, at some level, are not honest with ourselves. We have an inflated view of ourselves. That's where the concept of gava comes in. We don't really recognize where we're at. One of the things that the Mishnah we're going to learn in Pirkei Avos teaches us is that if one wants to acquire Torah, one of the things one has to acquire, one of the 48 things a person has to acquire in order to acquire Torah, is yodat mekomo, for a person to know his place. And then a person has to reach a level where he speaks truthfully. When he does something wrong, he says, I did something wrong. We find that David and Saul are both chastised by a prophet. They both make mistakes. And when the prophet comes to Saul, the first thing Saul says is, I did what God said. Whatever God said, I did. And then the prophet says, but how come I see A, B, and C? You didn't fulfill what the prophet said? And only after they have an argument does Saul accept, yeah, you're right, I messed up. And when it comes to David, the strength of David is that when the prophet first walks in, and he rebukes and David says, I have sinned, I have erred. Tzaddik isn't expected to always be perfect, as we will see. In this verse itself, David alludes to that. But a tzaddik is expected to be honest. When he's messed up, to say, I messed up, that wasn't right. We could also understand that the word bilvavo in his heart refers to the whole verse. Holech tamim, one who goes in a whole fashion in his heart as well. He acts righteously in his heart as well. So that last word in his heart can refer back to the whole verse. Lo hagala lishono. He does not spy, he doesn't slander with his tongue. The concept of Lashon Hara, the Torah is training us to be sensitive to the slight chance of indirect damage being done to our fellow man. We know that the Torah says you're not allowed to steal. And as an outgrowth of that, I'm not allowed to use your pencil without permission. I'm not allowed to use your objects without permission, unless it's for a mitzvah where I know you would want me to do it. In general, I cannot use your objects. I cannot damage your objects, even if I think I'll pay for it. A guy is trying to pry open something and he grabs his roommate's pen and he tries prying it. And one of the guys says, but it's going to break. He says, it's going to break, I'll pay. That's not permitted. The Torah says, you're not allowed to steal. One is not allowed to damage his fellow man, even if he says, I'll pay for it afterwards. We're not allowed to do that. So we know we're not allowed to damage our fellow man. But the Torah teaches us that we have to go a step further. We have to be careful not to say something. What's Lashon Hara? I say, oh, he's not careful with his money. So, did I do him any harm? But if I say that, it might be that the person who I say it to is going to consider hiring him for a job, or consider him for some job, or consider him for something else. And when he hears that, it might be in the long term that that negative comment that I just said in passing will cause him some harm. The Torah tells us that is biblically forbidden to say any slight negative comment. That's Lashon Hara. David HaMelech is saying lo hagal leshono. After a person has been whole, then there's another level. A person has to be careful not to say something that might harm someone in the far out. Not this second. We're not talking about a situation where I'm saying something to you and asking you, and you purposely want to harm the person and you say something bad. Just by the way, you say something that's negative. That's forbidden. David HaMelech is saying you want to enter God's tent. That's something a person has to be trained not to say something bad. Lo asa l'reo ha'a. He did not do bad to his friend. Sometimes when it comes to our friends, we feel more free. No, I could smack them on. I could, what they call practical jokes. So, sometimes they're not right. Sometimes everyone smiles, but if there's a point where the person is pained, it's not right. V'chirpa lo nasa al kirovo. And he, what we said, he's not willing to show favoritism even for his relative. Something is disgraceful, he disgraces it. It's interesting that this is mentioned here. A person can sometimes attain all the levels before this, and then when it comes to his relatives, he feels like, well, what are friends for, right? What are relatives for? And the David HaMelech is saying, no. One of the traits a person has to have, even for his relatives, if he does something disgraceful, he tells them. People sometimes cover up for their wives. And we have to stand by our wives, that's true. But if our wife or our husband does something that's wrong, and our job is to sometimes say, no, I'm sorry, that was wrong. It's not that I love you any less, but I think that was wrong. We don't have to do it in front of anyone else, but between themselves, the couple, one of their duties towards one another, is to be honest, even if it's a relative, even if it's one's own son. I never understood this. I was once at a minyan where the gabbai wasn't present. So they asked me to be gabbai. And there was a little kid who used to come. It was an early minyan. There was a little kid who used to come, 6-7 years old. He'd come with his father to this minyan. And every week they'd give him glila. He'd get to close the Sefer Torah. So they made me gabbai that week because the gabbai didn't show. So it came time to give glila. I gave it to someone else. I had never understood, why is the gabbai always giving this guy some? Why did he always get glila? It's an honor. There are other people come to the minyan. They also deserve it. Prayer ends and the kid's father walks up to me and says, why didn't you give my son glila? So I said, why should I give your son glila? So he said, he gets it every week. So I said, yeah, why? why should he get it? There are other people here. Why should he get glila? So he said, if you don't give him glila, he won't wake up for a minyan. He comes with me to pray because he knows he's going to get this honor. So I asked him, do you really think it's fair that there are other people here, he should get this honor every week? What's so he said yes. So I decided, no, I'm not gabbai every week, and what's done is done. Why should I argue with him? I don't know if he was right or wrong. At the time, it seemed obvious to me that he was wrong. Today, I don't know. But I remember, for years afterwards, I wondered, is the person so blinded by the fact that it's his own son that he doesn't see that? Every honor is given to a lot of people, and he feels like his son should get that honor every week. I didn't understand that until my son started talking. And he came home from Gan with bite marks on him. And I saw the bite marks, I see teeth marks, I see another kid like really stuck his teeth into him. And I remember the feelings, the emotions I had then. I didn't do anything. I told my wife, look, it's normal, he's in Gan, we'll talk to the teacher, we'll see what happens, we'll see. But I remember the feelings. And then, at that moment, I looked back and I said, oh, now I understand. I understand the feeling of your son, that you feel different, you don't look as logically at the picture. David HaMelech is stressing, you want to enter God's tent, the person has to be able to overcome the natural feelings of closeness and look honestly at the picture. Nivzeh beinav mimas, something is supposed to be disgraced, in his eyes it's disgusting. And he honors those that fear God. That's something that's important. Nishba le'ara, if he takes a vow and he sees it might be bad for himself, nonetheless, lo yamer, he doesn't go back on his word. Kaspo lo natan b'neshech, he does not give his money with interest. The Torah commands us, we may not give a loan with interest, we may not expect back with interest. Notice the word neshech is like nachash. With a chatan, with a ches, the word neshech is like nishicha, like a bite. Our sages told us when it comes to interest, interest is like a bite. When the neshech is like nishicha, like a bite. Our sages told us when it comes to interest, interest is like a bite. When a snake bites, the initial feeling is just like a small sting. And then slowly, as the venom enters the bloodstream, slowly it could cause the heart to stop. Slowly it could cause that limb to become numb. Just as the blood circulates with the venom in it, so slowly it causes the limbs to get number, that limb, and then can it go to other limbs, to the heart, and then just kill a person. That's what interest is. People think, I need to run my business, I need $1 million. So I'll promise the guy 7% a year, but otherwise I won't have a business. Very good. 7% a year, $1 million. So. But when you get the loan and you think of giving 7% in a year, so you think, fine, I'll do it. The Torah tells us we're not allowed to loan another Jew, or we're not allowed to give a loan or take a loan. Both are forbidden with interest. And some explain that this verse refers even to non-Jews. Ordinarily we say that just like a non-Jew is permitted to collect interest from a Jew, he's also allowed to pay interest to a Jew. The simple understanding of the halacha is that you could, just like it's a social system within the Jewish people, so you give a loan, you can give a loan with interest. You're not allowed to give a loan with interest, but then don't you're not allowed to take a loan with interest. A non-Jew is allowed to loan a Jew with interest. Jews come from non-Jewish banks with interest all the time, and by the same token, he's allowed to borrow with interest. But some explain that this verse is saying, you want to enter God's tent? When a non-Jew needs a loan, give it to him without interest too. So this refers even to non-Jews. V'shochad al naki lo natach lo interest too. So this refers even to non-Jews. V'shochad al naki lo natach oslakach. He didn't take a bribe to cleanse one who has sin. So this can be understood two ways. The simple understanding is he'll have permanence in God's tent. He won't fall from this. But our sages said the understanding is different. Sages said the understanding is that he will not have a permanent falling. He will fall, because the natural tendency of man is that he falls. But when he falls, it won't be with permanence. He'll get back up. Lo yimot lo'olam. His fall will not be a fall with permanence. But he will fall, because anyone who expects to grow and not fall, then he won't grow. The only way a person can grow is if he is ready to fall. En adam omed al divrei Torah, sages, so this person can't stand on the words of Torah, and can't excel them unless he's faltered with the words of Torah, unless he hasn't succeeded. You can't succeed unless you're willing to lose some of the wars. Some of the battles you lose, and then you can win the war. So, osei eile, if you do all of these things, then even when a person falls, he'll get back up. He won't have a permanent form. Yeah?
On the point that we're not allowed to lend, we're not allowed to take any interest, how do you deal with the fact that we are allowed to take interest, basically? Because there's a whole way if you make a business, and then
Wait. That's a fair question. Let's just deal with that in question and answer. You can have it in a little bit, a question and answer session where you could ask everything. So we'll get to that. Is there any question pertaining to here? Yeah.
The last thing you started saying was fascinating enough. You said you have to fall in order to. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
The concept that a person has to fall, so it says, Sheva yipol tzadik v'tzadik. Shlomo Amar Torah. A tzadik is defined as someone who keeps getting back up. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. Sheva in Tanakh is a number that connotes many. Tzadik falls 7 times, it means a tzadik falls many times, and he keeps getting back up. Rav Yitzchak Hutner in Pachad Yitzchak writes that he doesn't believe in reading biographies of Talmidei Chachamim, because when you read them, so they just write in glorified terms how the person was a success. And they don't mention to you how many times he overslept, how many times he didn't feel like learning that day, how many times he didn't get, didn't understand Shat and Gemara, how many times he did things wrong. They don't tell you that. In biographies about Tzadikim and Talmidei Chacham, they always write, oh, it's 5 he knew this, it's 7 he knew that, he kept, it was a shining star. And they never tell you that he fell and no one made it without falling. There's no such thing. So he says he doesn't believe in biographies of Tzadikim because of that, because they don't tell you that. A few years ago, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's son wrote a book in which he did mention people's clothing, and it was banned. Today, if you want to buy it on eBay, I was told it's hundreds of dollars. It's like a collector's item. Because it was banned, so you can't get a hold of it.
Are you allowed to do that about someone?
That's a good question. So in general, let's leave that for question then. Let's leave that for question and answer. We'll get to that. But the concept Shlomo Amalek taught us is that a person always falls. A tzaddik is someone who gets back up again. It's not someone who doesn't fall. And that's what Tavra Nach is saying here. If a person sticks to the good things, Ben Adam Lachavaro, if he's a good person between himself and his fellow man in every way that he can, spending money falls, he'll get back up. A person will be able to get back up. But if a person can't expect not to fall. That doesn't happen. Anything else? Okay. I think we're going to go over to our special class now.